This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Acts 9:36 now says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. And when they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber. For as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, about 10 miles, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay. He said, we need you to come. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him to the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner." Let us pray. Lord, I bow my head today, acknowledging my dependence upon you. God, I know it's my dependence upon you that will bring your anointing. It's my dependence upon you that will help me to preach. And so, God, I totally depend upon you to the best of my ability. I cannot. You never said I could. You can. You always said you would. Speak to me and through me. And God, for all you do, I'm going to praise you. For I pray this in Jesus' name until you come. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you with this theme that I've been preaching about defying the odds. I want to talk to you about defying the odds with your life. Defying the odds with your life. In 1960, there was a woman by the name of Wilma Rudolph. Wilma Rudolph was dubbed as the fastest woman in the world. The fastest woman in the world as far as running. But it didn't start out that way. When she was born, she weighed 4 pounds. Wilma Rudolph, when she was born, was the 20th of 22 children. The 20th of 22 children, they lived outside Nashville, Tennessee. Her dad was a porter. Her mother cleaned houses. They were basically a poor family. When Wilma Rudolph was 5 years old, she developed scarlet fever and polio at 5 years old. There was no vaccination. So most of the people during this time that got scarlet fever and polio died. Wilma Rudolph didn't die, but her left leg was badly twisted. Badly twisted. Her mother would take her to a doctor, but she had to drive 1 hour round trip to go to a doctor because Wilma Rudolph was a little black girl. And no white doctor would see her during this time because the color of her skin was black. By the way, what a disgrace. No doctor would see her. So they made the 100-mile trip. When they went to the doctor said, "You will never walk again." She said, "The doctor said I would never walk again, but my mother said I would, and I chose to believe mama." I chose to believe mama. Wilma Rudolph said they put a brace on my leg, and they said, "You got to wear the brace." But she said, "I would slip, and I would take the brace off, and I would push through the pain. I would push through the pain. And she said, eventually, I started being able to walk. Eventually, I started to be able to run a little bit. She said, when I was 12 years old, I said, I want to try out for the basketball team. And the coach said, no, you can't try out. But she said, I finally persuaded him. And he gave me a tryout, but he said I wasn't good enough to be on the team. But she said, I had a sister by the name of Yvonne. And Yvonne was an excellent basketball player. And the coach wanted Yvonne on the team. And my daddy said, if you get Yvonne, you get Wilma. If you get Yvonne, you get Wilma. So he said, I'll take Wilma too. And she said, I got on the basketball team. She said, from the basketball team, I got on the track team. And she said, when I was 16 years old, a coach from Tennessee State came to watch me and said, you need to be in the Olympics. She said, I didn't even know what that word meant. But she said, at 16 years of age, I ran in the Olympics and won a bronze medal. But at 20 years of age, I was the first woman ever to run in the Olympics and win 3 gold medals representing America. What a beautiful story of a lady who defied the odds. She said these words. She said, the potential for greatness lies within each of us. The potential for greatness lies within each of us. She said, the triumph can't be without the struggle. The triumph can't be without the struggle. Think of that word, triumph. I'm not deep. Triumph. You got to try before you ump. Amen? You've got to try before you ump. Before you can triumph, you've got to try. Zig Ziglar said this. He said, man was designed for accomplishment. He was engineered for success. He was endowed with seeds of greatness. I believe people can defy the odds. Winston Churchill. And folks, let me make this injection. If there's ever been a time in our world that we need a Winston Churchill, we need a Winston Churchill now. If there has ever been a time that we need somebody to step up, because that's the only thing a bully understands. The only thing a bully understands is stepping up. And folks, I want to pray and lift up the people of Ukraine. I want to pray and lift up the people of Ukraine. Winston Churchill said, to each there comes in their lifetime a special moment when they are figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered the chance to do a very special thing fitted to their talents. What a tragedy if that moment finds them unprepared, unwilling, unqualified for that which could have been their finest hour. There's a lady in the Bible. Her name was Tabitha. And she was a lady that defied the odds. She defied the odds. And what I want us to do, I want us to look at this lady by the name of Tabitha, that defied the odds. And I want us to see 5 quick things about how Tabitha defied the odds. The first thing I want you to see about Tabitha is I want you to see her position in Christ. Her position in Christ. Look what verse 36 says. It says, and there was at Joppa a certain disciple. Now get this, folks. A disciple is not just a student. A disciple is not just a pupil. What is a disciple? Well, it's threefold. Number one, it's a call to be with him and know him. It's a call to be with him and know him. See, Mark 3:14 says this, and he ordained the 12 that they might be with him. Before God wants you to do anything, he wants you to be with him. Folks, you're not a human doer. You're a human being. We've got to be with him. God said, I want to know you, and I want you to get to know me. God likes your company. I just want to challenge you today. In order to be a disciple, it's a call to be with him and know him. How do we get to know people? You got to spend time with them. You can't get to know somebody if you don't spend time with them. You want to get to know God? You've got to spend time with God. You've got to let some other things go to realize what's really important, and that's spending time with him. There's a second thing. It's a call to be like him. It's a call to be like him. A little girl said, Mama, I'm little. She said, yes, you're little. And she said, Jesus is big. She said, yes, Jesus is big. She said, Mama, I'm little. Jesus is big. And Jesus is inside me. She said, that's exactly right. She said, well, Mama, if I'm little and Jesus is big and he's inside me, shouldn't he stick out? And let me tell you, folks, it's a call to be like him. And when we're like him, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know he'll stick out. He'll stick out. Now listen, I'm all for shirts. I'm especially for Rock Spring shirts. I'm all for Christian paraphernalia. But let me tell you something. It shouldn't take that for people to know there's something different about us. Jesus ought to just stick out. It's a call to be like him. And then number three, it's a call to follow him. It's a call to follow him. You say, Pastor, I want to defy the odds. You get this. Your foundation has got to be a position in Christ. Steph Curry, a basketball player, he said, I gave my life to Christ when I was in the eighth grade. I gave my life to Christ. But he said, my mother, a wonderful godly lady, said, son, you need a foundation. And basketball can't be your foundation. He said, I started doing something. I started every game, I'd write on my Snickers, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. My foundation is Jesus Christ. My foundation is Jesus Christ. Our foundation has got to be Christ. How can I defy the odds? I'll tell you how you defy the odds. Her position in Christ. But I want you to see something else about her. It was her passion for Christ. Look what verse 36 says. It says, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, in the Greek, Dorcas. Look, she was always doing good. You get this. She was always doing good and helping the poor. What'd she do? She sold clothes. She made clothing. But whatever she did it as unto the Lord. You say, Pastor Benny, I'm just working in the nursery. No, no, no. You're working in the nursery as unto the Lord. I'm just singing in the choir. No, no, no. You're singing in the choir as unto the Lord. I'm just serving on this board. No, no, no. You're serving on that board as unto the Lord. I'm just greeting people at the door. No, no, no. You're doing it, ladies and gentlemen, as unto the Lord. We do it not for others. We do it for the Lord. We do everything we do for the applause of the nail-scarred hands. That's our passion. It's an audience of one. We're doing it as unto the Lord. Whatever we do, we ought to be conscientious. that I'm doing this as unto the Lord. I remember years ago I was having a staff meeting, and I said to the staff, come go with me. They said, where are we going? I said, just follow me. Just follow me. And I said, as we were walking to the front drive, I said, how many of you came in this front drive? They all came in the front drive. This was years ago. They all came in the front drive. And I said, I want you to notice something. And right there by the front drive, there was a Diet Mountain Dew bottle. I knew it was there because I strategically put it there. And I said, this is what I know. Everybody that came in, you drove right by the trash. Nobody bothered to stop to pick it up. And then I picked up the bottle and I went like that. And I said, look, there's a $100 bill in the bottle. I was going to give it to the person who picked it up, but nobody picked it up. And folks, since that day, you can't find a bottle on this campus. But all I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, whatever we do, as unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. You know, I don't understand this, folks. I don't understand what else matters other than serving Jesus. I don't understand what we're chasing other than Jesus, because at the end of the day, nothing else is going to matter other than what we do for Jesus. Nothing else matters. That's why I have such a passion to do everything I can, because the night's coming when no man can work. To do everything I can for Jesus. A man walks into a Harley Davidson dealership and he says, I want to buy a Harley. And the guy says, you don't understand. You don't understand. We don't sell Harleys to just anybody. You got to be a man's man to get a Harley here. Yeah, this is the men buy Harleys here. These Caesar toasts, guys, no. Guys with backbone of a noodle, you don't get one here. You got to be a man's man. He said, I'm a man's man. I want to get one. He said, well, tell me what makes you a man's man. He said, well, I'll tell you. The other day I was out with my chainsaw, and he said, I cut my hand off. He said, you got to be kidding. He said, no, I cut my hand off. And he said, let me tell you what I did. He said, I walked to the truck. I got some fishing line. Wow. And he said, I just sewed it back on. He said, my goodness. You are a man's man. Buy anything you want. That old boy said, all right. See, when it comes to the service of the Lord, when it comes to God's service, many times with us, it's all right. Come on, you know where I'm preaching. It's all right. Oh, we just all right. But no, it's not all right. God wants it all right. God wants our best. God wants everything we got. Her position in Christ, her passion for Christ. But I want you to see something else. Her partners for Christ. Her partners for Christ. You know, I read this. She dies. And in verse 39, they're weeping. You know, verse 37 says they washed her body. Did you notice this? They were people of faith. Because as I was researching this scripture, they didn't anoint her body for burial. And they didn't bury the body. And if you know anything about Israel, Israel doesn't embalm bodies even to this day. Even to this day, there's no embalming in Israel. Israel, they bury immediately. But they didn't. I believe they were people of faith. I believe they were believing for something. They just washed the body. Now get this, folks. Get this. They washed the body. They put it in a cool place. Somebody said, we need to go get Peter, who was 10 miles away. I don't know who the two guys were. I don't know who the two guys were, but two guys go and get Peter, and then Peter comes back, and you know the story, a resurrection takes place. Now here's all I want you to see something, folks. If you defy the odds in your life, it will be because a lot of people got involved. If you defy the odds, it will be because a lot of people got involved. A few years back, Barbara and I went back to McMinnville, Tennessee, and I went to see Billy Jack Barnes. And I said, Billy Jack, do you remember when I was a kid and you gave me a job at Gould Century? And it was a place where foundry workers worked. And my job was to clean the commodes. And you gave me a job, Billy Jack. I was cleaning those commodes where the foundry workers used. And I made $3.35 an hour. Thank you, Billy Jack, for giving me a job. Then I went and got some flowers. Barbara and I went down and we got some flowers and a fruit basket. And we went to Dolores' Market on Smithville Road in McMinnville, Tennessee. And I said, Miss Dolores, do you remember me? She said, oh, Benny boy, I remember you. You've just got old. I said, Miss Dolores, do you remember when I used to get gas and groceries on credit because I didn't have any money? And then the next week I wouldn't have any money to pay, and you said, I trust you, and I'll let you have some more. I said, Miss Dolores, I just want to stop by and say thank you. And then I said, I want to go see a guy named Mandel Nunley, because the night that a church voted on me, they voted on me and another man, and six people voted for him and six people voted for me, and Mandel Nunley voted and broke the tie, and I became the pastor. Without being the pastor there, I would have never been the pastor here. Let me tell you something, folks. If you defy the odds in your life, it'd be because some partners along the way. It'd be because some partners along the way. See, her position in Christ, her passion for Christ, her partners in Christ, but oh goodness gracious, her possibilities, her possibilities in Christ. Verse 40 says, Tabitha was raised from the dead. You said, Pastor Benny, it was her faith. It couldn't have been her faith, she was dead. He was God. He was God. They sent for Peter. Get this, folks. They said, Pete, you come. Well, here's what I want you to know. Pete had never resurrected anybody. God had never used Peter. You read the scripture. God had never used Peter. God had never used Peter to resurrect a dead body. But there's always a first time. I'm going to tell you. You say, Pastor Benny, I can't do it. Oh, you come up real close. There's always a first time. There's always a first time. There's always a first time, because the power's not in you anyway. The power is in Him. We're just a vessel. we're just jars of clay, amen? We're just broken pottery that God uses. We're just crackpots, but God uses us. Just crackpots. All I want you to see, folks, get this, I'm almost done. This is the message I want to, boy. Goodness gracious. I'll tell you what, I wish I could have spent some time with Tabitha. I wish me and Tabby could have hung out. Because boy, she would have been a piece of work. because she would have said, let me tell you something, God can do anything. She'd said, let me tell you something, God's greater than cancer. Let me tell you something, God's greater than sickness. God's greater than addiction. God's greater than marriage problems. God's greater than heartache. God's greater than disappointment, because I was dead and he raised me to life. And if God can do that for me, our God can do anything. I love what Michael Todd said. Michael Todd said these words. He said, it's only crazy until it happens. It's only crazy until it happens. No, wait, I've got to quit. If there was more here other than you two. If you're on medication, it's 3 to 12. There's one other thing I want you to see. It's her purpose for Christ. You said, wait, Pastor Benny, thank God for the miracles. No, thank God for the miracles, but you got to understand why the miracles. Look here. Why does God do the miracles? And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Many believed in the Lord. Let me tell you something, folks. You know what I believe? God does things in our lives to bring people to Jesus. God does things in our lives to bring people to God. God preserves our lives many times because he's trying to bring us to himself. He's trying to bring us to himself. He allowed this to work out and he allowed that to work out simply because he's trying to bring us to him. Let me tell you one story and I'm done. There's a person I have great appreciation for. It's Dr. Billy Graham. Billy Graham said that there was a lady in an African nation that gave her life to Christ. She gave her life to Christ, but it angered her husband. He was very hostile toward her giving her life to Christ. Giving her life, hostile. Listen, I've preached in Guyana. And when women would come to church at night, knowing that when they went back home, they was going to be beaten for coming to church. Preaching Guyana, and women would be beaten for coming to church. And the next night I'd go back to preach, and they'd be sitting there with physical marks where they'd been beaten for coming to church. We live in a culture where we take church so lackadaisical. So lackadaisical, like it's not important. Like it really doesn't matter. God help us. It bound to break the heart of God. It bound to break the heart of God, Americans' attitude toward coming to his house. It bound to break the heart of God. When the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And our attitude is, I'll go if I get around to it. If I don't, it's okay. This lady in an African nation gave her life to Christ, and the husband decided, what I'll do is I'll kill her. I will accuse her of stealing my keys. It's the keys to the bank. It's the keys to the house. It's the keys to the car. I will accuse her of stealing the keys and I'll kill her. He's going down to the tavern. Billy Graham said, true story. He takes the keys and throws them into the Nile River as he walks across. Throws them into the Nile River. True story. That afternoon, his wife comes to the fish market to buy the evening meal. She buys a big Nile perch. You tell me people don't matter to God. You tell me God doesn't love people. She buys a big Nile perch. She cuts that thing open, and lo and behold, inside of it is the husband's keys. She simply washes the keys, hangs them up on the hook. Suddenly, the drunk banker husband comes home. He's pounding on the front door. Where are my keys? Already in bed, she got up, picked them off the hook, and handed them to her husband. When he saw the keys, this is by his own testimony, he immediately became sober and was instantly converted. He fell on his knees, sobbing, asking for forgiveness, and confessed Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Why does God do miracles? I'll tell you why he does miracles. To bring people to Jesus Christ. Why has God preserved you? Why has God watched over you? Why has God taken care of you? He was trying to bring you unto himself. You said, Pastor, I want to defy the odds. You can. It's through your position in Christ. You're a child of God. It's through having a passion. It's realizing you can't do it alone, but it's realizing with God all things are possible. With all things are possible. Because look here. This is not deep. This is not deep. I've preached too long. This is not deep. You know why you're here? 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 You're here to know him and make him known. That's it. You're here to know him and make him known.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.